like to say dittos to Butch's comments before his lesson. Let me get right into mine. I don't know if any of you have ever had a situation where you're maybe working on something that's real small, maybe it's spring-loaded, and you're working on it, and all of a sudden you see a part go flying, and it goes through your mind, oh no, I'm going to need that. Well, such a thing happened back in the winter. An item that is exactly like this, let me bring this up so you can see it. Not the dime, but the item to the right of it was lost. And I was without it. Here's another view of it. Little side view. Bill, you know what it is? Mark, you know what it is? If I give the rest of you any idea? If you don't know me, I'm a duck hunter. I was duck hunting, and after my third shot, I went to reload, and I was missing a part. A little zoom, a little closer view, and it's that part right there. This is your the part that holds the firing pin. This piece goes back into this tube, and it's spring-loaded. And let me tell you, if you don't have this little part, it's not going to work. And that's much of what my lesson is finding that which is lost. Of course, the first scripture that would come to mind, or at least came to my mind, is the parable of the lost sheep. And that's in Luke 15, 1 through 7. And then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, sorry, I didn't bring that up. This man receives sinners and eats with them. So he spoke this parable to them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 into the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he found it, he lays it upon his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And I say to you, likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 persons who need no repentance. So what's so special about this one sheep? Well, in verse 4, this sheep was lost, unlike the 99. And what happens to this sheep? What happens when the sheep is found? Well, in verse 6, it says that there was rejoicing, but this is a lot like what Tommy experienced and what you experienced when your son was baptized. In the next verse is another parable of the lost coin. And it reads, What woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she found it, she calls her friends together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I have lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of angels over one sinner who repents. I remember when April was baptized, I called her on the cell phone, and I asked her, I said, April, how does it make you feel to know that there are angels in heaven rejoicing over what you've done tonight? And she said, it's awesome. And that's very, very good words. But what's so special about this coin? Well, it too was lost. And what happens when it was found? Once again, rejoicing. Now, these are two objects, but now on a personal level, what about the Philippian jailer? This is in Acts 16, 25 through 34. Paul and Silas are in prison. And what are they doing? They're praying and singing hymns to God. And that reads, "But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them." Much like what Butch was saying, people are paying attention to what you're doing. "And suddenly a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening from a sleep, seeing that the prison doors open, supposing that the prisoners have fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called out with a loud voice, saying, Do yourself no harm, for we are all here. And then he called for a light and ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' So they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, and you and all your house.' And he took them that same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and all of his family were baptized. Now, when he brought them into his house, he set food before them and rejoiced, and he rejoiced having believed in God and all of his household." Once again, we have a person that has made a commitment, made a change in his life. And what happens when he's baptized? There's a change and there's much rejoicing. Another example is the Ethiopian eunuch. And that's in Acts 8, 26 through 39. And that reads, "And now the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, 'Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert.' And so he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, which had charge of all of her treasury, had come to Jerusalem to worship. And returning and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go near and overtake this chariot.' So Philip ran to him and heard him reading from the prophet Isaiah and said, 'Do you understand what you are reading?' And he said, 'How can I unless someone guides me?' And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. And the place in the scripture which he read was this: 'He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humility, his justice was taken away. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth.' So the eunuch answered Philip and said, 'I ask you, of whom does this prophet say this, of himself or of some other man?' And Philip opened his mouth and began this scripture, preaching Jesus to him. And now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?' When Peter said, 'If you believe with all your heart, you may.' And he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.' So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he was baptized. And when he came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, and so the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing." The eunuch was just another man, but once again, he was lost. But once he was saved, once he was baptized, all of his sins were washed away, and he went away rejoicing. In conclusion, what can we learn from these four passages? First off, Jesus is your shepherd. Second, as an individual, you're very important to Jesus. Third, if you're not a Christian or living as Christ, then you are incomplete spiritually. If you would like to be made spiritually complete, I promise you there will be rejoicing here in this building and also on earth. If you're subject to the invitation tonight, won't you please come forward as we stand and sing.